Our lesson today takes us into chapter 19 of the book of Genesis. But before we look at the chapter with its lessons, let us bow for a moment of prayer. Blessed God, our Father, we again acknowledge Thee. Come to Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're about again to read from the sacred page. Thou desirest by Thy Holy Spirit, Thou shalt cause each of us to understand and be able to take it in and apply it to our lives. Remember every listener today, their needs are known to Thee. We believe Thou art able to meet that need. So therefore may Thy blessing rest upon Thy people everywhere. Bless us now as we study the Word together for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Our chapter 19 of the book of Genesis is one of the most soul-searching and conscience-stirring chapters in the whole Bible. It is a reminder of the hideous possibilities of sin and the extent to which evil can take hold of human nature when the restraints of divine law are removed or set at naught. There are scarcely any limits to human depravity. In connection with this chapter, one should also read the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 1, verses 21 through 32. Could also consult the second Epistle of Peter, chapter 2, and verse 8. Also, the Epistle of Jude, verses 7 and 8. These will all throw light upon what is recorded here in Genesis chapter 19. However, there are four things in this chapter that we should take note of. First of all, the angels and their visit to Sodom. Then we can consider the men of Sodom and their vice. Also, the man named Lot, who vexed his soul while living in Sodom. Last of all, we look at Abraham and his vision of Sodom. Dealing then with the angels and their visit to Sodom. That takes us to the beginning of the chapter. Verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, tarry all night, and wash your feet. And ye shall rise up early and go on your way. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Now let us pause there for a moment. Now, since the Bible states that angels are servants, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, they are ministering spirits sent forth to serve. We have here the record of a providential dealing of God in order to rescue the man whose name was Lot. Remember, the wicked city with its inhabitants is to be destroyed. And it appears that the mission of the angels is a mission of judgment, tempered with mercy. We learned in our study of chapter 18 that the Lord made it known to Abraham what he was about to do. The time had come for God's judgment to fall upon the people of that wicked city, Sodom. And these two angels who had appeared to Abraham in the tent door, and Abraham then took them on their way. I've often wondered if he stood and watched them as they wended their way down toward Sodom. At last they arrive there, and they're coming near to Sodom. Remember, their mission is a mission of judgment. But, as I have indicated, it is tempered with mercy, because they are coming to rescue Lot. We learn that they cannot destroy the city till Lot is outside. Again, I remind you of what we have said in previous studies, that this old world is heading for a time of coming judgment. But I am one of those that believe that the Bible teaches this very clearly, that before the wrath of God falls upon this ungodly world, that God is going to remove from it His own. There will be what is known as the rapture of the saints. They that are His shall be taken out before the vials of His judgment are poured out upon this ungodly scene. So the angels come in their visit to Sodom. Now, we're also told something here regarding the men of Sodom and their vice. Remember, the name of Sodom and the sin that was practiced there has become a stigma and is loathed by every respectable and moral living person. And it ought to be shunned like the plague by every professing Christian. The sin of the men of Sodom was unnatural, unlawful, unrighteous, unseemly. Sodom, with its sin, was condemned by God and was used by the Lord Jesus to warn us regarding conditions that would prevail at the end of the age. You can read that in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 17, verses 28 through 32. Now, every observant person at the present time will realize this, that even in the so-called civilized countries today, including our own, the sin of the men of Sodom is prevalent with us. I don't care what name you give it. You can call it by whatever name you like. People today are priding themselves, glorying in their shame. The men of Sodom did the same thing. They were not ashamed of the sin they were committing. They would have done it publicly. Today we discover men are parading and claiming to be the same as the men of Sodom. Or they may give themselves new names. They may call themselves the Gays or the Freedom League or whatever name they care to take, doing their own thing. My friend, listen. God condemned it in the men of Sodom. The Bible condemns it. The right name for it is sin. It's the sin of Sodom. The men in Sodom committed that sin, and God came down, as it were, disgusted with their manner of life, and the only thing left for it was God's judgment. So the men of Sodom and their vice is brought before us in this chapter. It's a solemn thing, a searching thing. However, our attention will be directed now in this chapter away from the men, so to speak, and the focus will be directed to one man, the man whose name was Lot. Remember, this was a man who vexed his righteous soul. There's a number of things now we must take note of with regards to this man, Lot. Notice his distinguished position in Sodom. When the angels came there, verse 1, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Here's his distinguished position in Sodom, sitting in the gate. Now, during the years he lived in Sodom, he failed to let his light shine, but simply compromised with the customs of the city and gained a high position. We should remember that he went towards Sodom to begin with, then he gave up his tent, moved into Sodom, and became there, as it were, a citizen in the wicked city. Not only a citizen living in the city, but he ran for office, so to speak, and he reached the place where he became one of the leaders in Sodom, sitting, as you and I would say today, on the city council, for that was where the council met. Their place of meeting was in the gate. That was the place of authority. And so he was sitting in the gate. He had his position in Sodom. But while he may have had a position in Sodom, he had no influence. In plain words, instead of using his influence to make Sodom a better place, he simply compromised his own convictions and he fitted in with the customs of the city in order to promote himself and gain a high position. Oh, how easy it is for men to hide their light under a bushel, to fail to let the light shine, and to have a position, but that position may call for compromise. When we come to verse 8, we find something regarding his disgraceful proposition to the men of Sodom. Here was a man who was prepared to sacrifice the honor of his daughters to save his own skin. Because when these wicked men of Sodom were pressing around his door, he said, "Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." Now here was a man, not only was he prepared to compromise his own convictions in order to have a position in Sodom, but look at his disgraceful proposition to those wicked men of Sodom. He said, "If you like, take my daughters and do what you like to them." And he was prepared to do this in order to save his own skin. How far can a man sink into sin and dishonor? Then I want you to notice in verse 9 the danger he faced in Sodom. Now these men who were sinners, the sinners in Sodom, had little or no respect for Lot, and were ready to use violence upon him in order to achieve their own ends. They said, "Stand back." They said again to the others, this fellow, came in to sojourn. He was only a stranger amongst us. He came in as a sojourner. And now he wants to be a judge. He wants to tell us what we can do and what we can't do. Now, will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break down the door. Here was a man in danger of being encompassed with the very sin that these Sodomites practiced. And so therefore he was in danger. These people had no respect for Lot. Why, of course, he had already lost all respect. And they were prepared to treat him like one of themselves. Now, it was only the intervention of the angels that prevented him from being overcome by the men of Sodom. I want you to notice in verse 16, his desire to remain in Sodom. In spite of the wickedness of Sodom and the warnings of the angels, this man still lingered in the city. He appeared to have much invested in the city. For when you come to verse 16, it says, "And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city." Again I ask you, how much do you think that this man Lot had invested in the city of Sodom? Perhaps during the time of his living there, he had invested his all in the city, thinking that by this he might achieve something in life, that he might gain something for himself. So having invested as much in the city, then he was very reluctant to leave it. Now remember, he knew of the wickedness of Sodom. He knew what it was like. He had lived there long enough to see it. And then the angels warned him. He had received the divine warnings. Yet in spite of these things, he has the desire to linger in the city. Again, I suggest it may be because he has invested his all in that wicked city, he has a desire to remain. I ask you, my friend, it may be I'm speaking today to someone who, by profession, would say that they are Christians. You may even use the term that's used abroad today, I've been born again, without knowing what that means. But you say you're a Christian. I ask you, how much of your time and your talent are you investing in the wickedness of this world? Some men are prepared to act in wickedness. Some men are prepared to live their lives in wickedness because it suits the people with whom they fellowship. That is, all their time is spent with wicked men and they're prepared to do what the others do. Or is it possible that you're trying to make some interest for yourself from the sin and iniquity that is around us? And because you've invested so much in the sordid things of this life, you're not prepared to withdraw from it. Now, I don't know how much it is that people are investing in the things of the world today, but I tell you this, my friend, it doesn't pay good dividends in the end, and it's the end that counts. When we come to verse 17, we learn something of his deliverance out of Sodom. First of all, the mercy of God designed it, and the message from God explained it. It came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." So therefore we have his deliverance out of Sodom. The mercy of God designed it, and the message from God explained it. And we're thankful that at least he was delivered from the judgment of Sodom. But oh, how sad. We're introduced now to one of the darkest days in the life of this man Lot, his drunkenness after deliverance. While Lot was taken out of Sodom, it would seem that Sodom was never taken out of Lot. He is still willing to indulge in wine to excess with its sad results. I would like to suggest to all my listeners today that it's a good exercise to study through the scriptures and take note of all the things that happened while men were intoxicated. And perhaps you can add to that some of the things that you know of that happen when men are intoxicated with liquor. It's the cause of a great amount of crime. And here we discover right here the drunkenness of Lot. Because while the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. He overthrew those cities and all the plains and all the inhabitants of the cities, that which grew upon the ground. It was at that time that his wife flew back and she was destroyed. Now, when you find this man getting up and he goes to the hill, and you find him in a cave. Now, let me remind you, my friend, of this man's movements. When he left Ur of the Chaldees, he was living with his uncle Abraham, the friend of God. He was living at that time in a tent dweller, a sojourner, a pilgrim, in the right character. But he left his tent, and he dwelt in a house down in the wicked city of Sodom. But now when you come to the end of chapter 19, you discover that he hasn't even got a house now, but there he's in the mountains, and he was dwelling in a cave. He dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. Now it's at that time when his daughters said, "Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father." And here is the drunkenness after his deliverance. I've indicated you may take the man out of Sodom, but the customs of Sodom are still in the man. and he's willing to indulge with his alcohol till he makes himself drunk. Then look at his depravity and his shame. Now remember, when he was in Sodom, he was prepared to expose his daughters to the manners of Sodom. He was responsible for that. And he was willing to sacrifice their honor. That man is now brought to the point where he's in a very low moral state. He's been drugged by alcohol. Then he's deceived by his own daughters. Now the seed that he was sowing down in Sodom is now bringing the harvest. He was responsible for the place where his daughters were raised. He was willing to throw the honor of his daughters overboard. Now they, his daughters, are prepared to deceive him. His daughters made him drunk. They deceived him. And now the harvest is about to be reaped. And now, notice his descendants from this awful act of depravity. We have his descendants, the two sons that are born, become the fathers of two great groups of people, the Moabites and the Ammonites. These were those who developed from the children born to the daughters of Lot, and these became in time the enemies of the Israelites in after years. Now remember, this man Lot, in leaving Abraham and going to Sodom, there were certain things that he lost. He, first of all, Lot lost his joy. He must have been a happy man when he was journeying with his uncle Abraham, the friend of God. But when he turned his back on him and quarreled with him, decided to go down to the well-watered plains of Jordan, down to Sodom and Gomorrah, he lost his joy. The next thing was this, he lost his testimony. He had no testimony in the town of Sodom. Ultimately, he lost all his possessions, for the city was destroyed, and all that he had gained down there, he lost in a day. He lost his wife, and he lost his sons. Then he lost his honor. He became a drunken man, and there, in the state of drunkenness, engaging in incest. In plain words, this man lost his all in a city that was built by man and destroyed by God. Over against that, his uncle Abraham left a city that was built by man and went out as a pilgrim and a stranger, looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Oh, what a difference between the two men. Lot lost his all in a city that was built by man and destroyed by God. Now there's another point in the chapter you must note. It's Abram and his vision of Sodom. Remember, when Lot went toward Sodom, it was a matter of sin desired. That's back in chapter 13. When the angels went toward Sodom, it was a matter of sin discovered. Chapter 18, verse 22. When Abraham looked toward Sodom, it was sin that was doomed, and Sodom destroyed. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of plain, that God remembered Abraham, sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Oh, my friend, remember this. Lot was a righteous man. He vexed his righteous soul by the manner of life that was around him in the city of Sodom. A blessing, he had an uncle who prayed for him. God heard the prayers of Abraham and delivered